Hello. You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I'm Alison Spittle. How was your Christmas? This is released on the 27th of December, so Christmas is kind of over at this point, isn't it? You feel like it's about 7 o'clock at a house party and you're not sure if you're still allowed to have fun or what should you be doing. I'm sure some of you are back at work, so hello to you and fair play. Me, I'm doing nothing. So I am. I'm doing nothing. I got some really cool things for Christmas. One of the cool things I got actually was a badge in the shape of Sinbad from Jingle All The Way, which I feel is the true spirit of Christmas. Look, I'm talking a bit too much. Let's get straight into it. This guest this week, Neil Delamere, fantastic comedian, really, really good. Look up to him. A lot of comedians do. He's just a really great joke writer and a constant worker, and you know, he's really good, and I was really delighted to have him on the show to be interviewed, because as you'll hear, he's just relentless. He's just so funny. I really loved riffing with him on stage, and the man is just a joke machine, and he really is really that good. He's on tour as well in the new year. Go to his website. I'm sure you'll find all the details that you need there. Go see him live, because he just is fantastic live. Thanks very much to Copperberg, by the way, for sponsoring the show. I'm delighted to have them on board. Go listen to this show now, and I'll have a proper chat with you after.
How are you getting on? I am very excited to be here, and there's lots of you. Well, not lots of you, but like a lot more than I was expecting. So I don't know how many I was expecting, but not this many. So I'm delighted. Thank you very much for coming. Give me a shout if you listen to the podcast. Yay! Give me a shout if you don't listen to the podcast. Yay! I react all the same. It's fine. So today's show, we got Neil Delamere. You sound very quiet. I love it though. You sound like you've been hurt before, and you're. Do you know what I mean? You're just fresh back on the scene. You're ready, but not quite. You know, Francis was a bastard, so. We all know. I'll try and loosen you up, and then I'll bring on Neil. Is that all right? Yay! I don't know why I'm telling. It's basically, imagine if you were gonna get rode by somebody, and he was like, "Do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna kiss you on the neck, and then I'm gonna, do you know what I mean? Then I'll do other stuff." and you'd be like, "I don't need to be fucking this person. This is not a good decision." So. I'll tell you something very personal. Once I rode a fella, right? That's not the personal part. But this is a one-night thing years ago when I was in college. He asked for, like, marks out of 10 on his technique throughout the whole night. And then he ate all of my custard creams in the morning. I was, like, looking at me while eating them. I was like, "I'm never touching you again." I love it though. It's like, as soon as he ate my custard creams, I was like, "No, fuck him. He's gone." Not the weird, mark me out of 10 for this and that. And it was so, anyway, now I don't have sex anymore. So, I'm joking. I'm loads of it. So, I'm not joking. I was on the Late Late Show about 2 weeks ago, and I was delighted with myself. My mum came with me to go to the Late Late Show, and she had been in the audience to see me on the Ray Darcy Show. I know I'm name dropping shitloads here, but fuck it. And she loves Ray Darcy so much, because Ray Darcy asked her how she was, and he was like, "What a personable man, you know." Like that's her her bar is so low. But Ray was nice. He was nice. But she's like, he's an angel. I had a great time. So are we going to have a good time for this lovely interview? Yeah? Okay. Well, will you please welcome to the best stand-up comedian from Offaly? Yeah, Neil Delamere, everybody.
Wow. What a fantastic introduction.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I haven't seen you since that time I ate all your custard creams, remember? You kept out shouting zero, zero out of ten as I left. I don't know what that was about. Zero out of ten. I could give you minus points.
I wish instead of like him asking me what out of ten he was like writing, he just had like, do you know the way Lidl now and airports have like a smiley face button?
If it was so bad you have to draw your own sad face.
Yeah, or confused about my sexuality face. Just like, you know.
Sorry, I'm doing The Scream by Edvard Munch. That would be amazing.
Although that would be good. Like if it was like, how's my riding? And it's like the
it's like a sticker on the back of a transit. It
I bet you 10 quid someone has had that though. Like, because truckers have what did it call it?
I'm not going to fill in that sentence for you. You're driving out your own cul-de-sac there.
A dirty sense of humour, I feel.
This is true, yes.
I've been to truck stops. I know their ways.
That should be the title of your autobiography. Do you know that? I've been to truck stops. I know their ways. Oh, that's a country song.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a tragic country song, doesn't it?
I love Irish country singers who have American names like T.R. Dallas or Mike Denver and sing like, bang, down, 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 and then off stage, fairly far away now. Those lads, I love that.
It's like, I think T.R. Dallas is a county councillor in Westmead.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what his real name is, but it's not T.R. Dallas.
Is it T.R. Kalukan?
Kalukan, yeah, T.R. Kalukan.
It's a very specific Westmead joke there for one person at the back going, finally, represent. Foster and Allen in the house. Hello.
Because in Westmead, you cannot move in Westmead without a minor celebrity there.
Okay.
From your neck of the woods, apart from yourself, who's the most famous person from your area?
The most famous person from my area.
An infamous after, please.
My primary school once had a picture of me up.
Yeah.
And I went in and I was the second most famous person from the primary school. And the most famous was Malachy from Fair City.
Malachy from Fair City?
Who's no longer in Fair City. And he's still higher up on the picture board than I am.
You should sort that out.
Yeah. Take out a hit on him or something? That was quite threatening. Do you know a trucker that could dispose of the body for me?
Yeah. Just go in and show them your Wikipedia page and you'll be like, I see a longer body of work than Malachy. Unless, what's Malachy up to now?
I don't know, actually.
Okay.
And Eugene O'Brien is the playwright from there who wrote Eden and wrote Pure Mule and all the rest. So he's seriously talented.
Oh my gosh. Pure Mule was filmed, the nightclub scenes were filmed near my secondary school.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal at the time in my secondary school.
Well, I love Pure Mule, I have to say. Because it was set in the Midlands. And I don't know about you, but if something is set in the Midlands and they're looking for specific Midlands actors, I always think that I have a shot in it. And then if a Midlands thing comes along and has maybe a 5-6-part series and is successful, but I don't get asked to audition for it, then I really feel bad about that and hold the people responsible who co-wrote it or even put themselves in it. I would feel really bad. How's Nowhere Fast going for you anyway, Alison?
It's going fantastic. I'm joking.
Well, can I just say, I don't blame you because I went for that. It's the only audition I've ever gone for because someone said, you're playing someone from your town at your age and is a bit cheeky. And that's how bad an actor I am. I went for a role playing myself and didn't get the role.
It's like Charlie Chaplin with the entrance to Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what was it? What kind of audition process was it like? Did they say, did they go, right, time to audition? You go, okay. And they go,
just be you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Neil Delamere. And they're like, I don't believe it.
You're a Neil Delamere impersonator.
Yeah.
Oh, that would put a terrible job. That would be
so neat. That would be so.
There's one man laughing over there. That's just, nah, ha, ha. There's a false course for that in that own IT. I I think it was just a self-tape or something like that. And then I didn't even get to beyond that.
Oh, man, I did a self-tape and you feel like such a shithead doing a self-tape. Because number one, you're talking to yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to emote with yourself. And you're like, no, fuck you. Do you know what I mean?
Was this for your own sitcom?
Yeah, that's how I auditioned.
You're like Ronnie Barker. You know where he used to, Ronnie Barker used to write, he wouldn't write... He used to write scripts for the two Ronnies, and he would write it in somebody else's name, George Wiley or something like that. So if it was good enough, it would be made. He didn't want his name attached to it,
yeah.
And that would get substandard material made. So in other words, you did the same thing for Nowhere Fast. You self-taped yourself.
I did.
To do Nowhere Fast.
Well, I didn't. With Nowhere Fast, I didn't kind of ask to be in it. It was weird because they had to audition the two other main ladies in it, and they're professional actors and fantastic. And I didn't even learn the script that I wrote. So I was there with them. They were auditioning.
Do you know your lines? They're in my head. They're That's where they came from.
So it's like, they're doing fantastic. I'm like, oh, no. And even when we were going through the script, the girls were so great, Genevieve and Claire. We used to have this thing called the chicken party, which is where Genevieve would cook a chicken, right? And then... I'll finish up. Then we do like script readings. I know you're thinking something different.
No, I'm not.
And, like, good. Okay. I'm thinking something different that I can't say.
No, you can't say it. It's your podcast.
It is my podcast. It's my podcast, and I'll libel if I want to.
Oh, libel. Okay.
Yeah, no. It's a crime. at least I think it's a crime. It's voodoo. Anyway, so. But we would do the script reading, and I would go to the girls like, oh, just, you know, this part I have here. What emotion do you think I'm trying to convey with this line?
The line that you wrote.
That I wrote. I had no confidence in my acting ability at all. I was they were very good. And there was actually one time there's a scene where I'm crying, and I'm not supposed to be crying. I was just very sad. And I couldn't stop myself crying. It's in the dark.
Hold on. You had a co-writer on this, right?
Yeah.
So did you not at some point look at that person and go, can you remember how I felt when I wrote this down?
No, he wasn't there in the room at the time. He wasn't that set. So it was just me representing me. I remember I had to do I was in every scene one day for 12 hours. So, and I had to do costume changes. And do you ever get so tired that you just... Your eyes start leaking really badly. And then you go, oh, no, I'm crying. And then you cry because you're crying. And the makeup artist is trying to put the makeup up around your tears. But your tears keep pushing it forward. And
no, I've never had that, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, I thought we could relate.
Oh, man, it sounds great. You're painting a great picture of it, all right. But no, I've never had that. I'm kind of a traditional Irish male who will bury all those feelings deep, deep and down until I walk into a post office with a meat cleaver at some point.
Actually,
you're laughing, but it's going to happen.
What is the most ridiculous thing you've ever cried over?
I cried... I think, you know, some people have triggers, I think, right?
Yeah.
And some people, for cruelty to animals would be a lot for a lot of people, or anything with kids, something like that. Like, I don't have kids, so I couldn't give a shit about yours. No, I don't care. Like, if I saw two, toddlers... in a knife fight, I'd be like a tenner on the heavier one. I wouldn't. I genuinely wouldn't. I didn't expect that to get a clap. This is a dark crowd.
I love it.
People are planning it. Let's go to a rough area of Dublin, throw out a knife and see what happens. So for me, it's anything older people, because my parents are a little bit older.
Yeah.
So anything to do with older people. So I was on... I was on a plane with my missus, and there was a man got on, and he was about 40, right? And he's not the older person, by the way.
And it's a very wide age group.
His mum was with him, and she was obviously infirm, and she was in her 70s maybe. And he sat her down, and he put on her slippers for the flight, and he looked after her for the whole flight. And at the end, they were getting off, and they were clearly meeting somebody, and he took out a hairbrush, and he combed her hair.
Oh.
Exactly. And I was sitting beside my missus. I was going, hey, come here. Hi, come to here. No, he made a balls of it. Like, she looked like Einstein. She was an absolute state. And she was trying to get him to stop. But she was older and infirm, so it didn't go down that well. And it was so tender. It was really tender. And then she goes, "Are you crying?" And I did, "I'm not crying. Shut up. I'm not crying." I barked at my missus.
I'm relieved the plane made it to its destination.
Yes, it is relief. You know how I get on planes. So I was a bit touched by that, I have to say. And then I said to her, "Do you think I'll ever have the same relationship with my mom and dad like that?" And she goes, "No." That was genuinely anything to do with older people. That's always the bit that gets me.
Do you know what? Another question I was going to ask, okay. I might as well ask it now because it's kind of connected. So I'm starting to get dry skin around my fingernails, right? And it's connected. I'll tell you how now. And
this should be good, everyone.
I get little hangnails and stuff, right? Okay. And I become very aware that I'm going to die. Like, when I see this, I'm like, my body is falling apart.
Okay.
Have you ever felt like that? And at what point did you feel like that?
I have felt like that midway through that question. I was loving life. You gave this introduction, the most Irish introduction I've ever heard at a podcast. Wow, there's more of you here than I expected. which was amazing. I was feeling good about myself. And then you started talking about the relative temporary nature and transient nature of life.
I know.
Really, that's genuinely the thing that gets you.
Gets me all the time. So I'm going out with my boyfriend 5 years. And one of our first dates was to go see the film Amour, a Michael Haneke film, which is basically about an older couple. The woman gets a stroke and becomes infirm. And I think, I don't know if he kills her or not. There's a dream sequence anyway. But
did everybody else see the dream sequence? Yeah. Did you turn to him and go, "Look, it's just like us, look at my nail"?
I know. I started crying really hard, like snot crying. Okay. And we had not kissed or anything at this point, so it could have went either way.
Yeah.
And like I was rubbing fluid all over my sleeves. I just could not stop crying. And
I've had that in the cinema, but it's a different thing altogether. No, it's true. I can still see him in the film as well.
Michael Haneke just always sets him off. And so
What a weird niche fetish that would be. So that's very odd. No, I mean, there's certain things that would remind you of the temporary nature of life. Actually, the show I'm doing at the moment has a couple of those lines in it about that. And it's a joke, but it is true. Like, so when your parents kind of take a downstairs room, or your grandparents take a downstairs room, or they stop driving or anything like that, that would be one. Or a comedy one is when your nine-year-old nephew and your 82-year-old dad walk into the house and say the same thing, the exact same thing, but for two entirely different reasons. The two of them walked into the house within an hour of each other and went, "Let's build a ramp!
Let's build a ramp!" Like,
that's... unless your dad is going to BMX past the door...
Yeah. Oh,
so there's certain things, but that's an amazing one. I've never thought of that one. Yeah. I have a fact about
go on.
Nails. Yeah. The Vikings used to build a ship that would get you to in mythology that would get you to Viking kind of hell stroke heaven out of nails, out of toenails.
Out of toenails. Would this be the bodies that they find or clippings? What are we?
Clippings. Yeah.
That sounds like a very hard. I mean, they're very small, do they?
I mean, it's a lot of them.
That's true.
Yeah.
But what kind of clippers did they use back in the day?
Well, archaeologists haven't confirmed that yet.
Okay. When they do, will you tell me?
I will.
But you did a few documentaries, actually, about history and stuff.
I did, yeah.
Was that like, see the seamless fucking links that are coming in?
Are we allowed to curse, are we?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you can if you like.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who's a cunt? Let's start libeling people now.
Delaware's List.
Oh, listen. People say that telephone directories aren't in existence anymore. I'll show you my list. Thick book.
Did you always have an interest in history? How did that come about?
No, I didn't, actually. I very much had an interest in what the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland would give money to.
Man, I love it. Because sometimes,
big fan of that now.
Yeah, sometimes you see these like documentaries where they're like, "Hi, I'm such and such, and I'm really interested in insert fucking subject here."
Yeah.
And in fairness, I'm actually doing a documentary where it's kind of like I went to RT. I need money because this is when I didn't have the sitcom, and it's taken 2 years to make this fucking documentary.
Okay.
It's called Culture Club.
Right.
And I just it. the name was really good, and then I was like halfway through going, fuck, I don't know what this documentary is actually about.
Unless it's the time that Boy George went to Athlone, you're in serious trouble.
Well, Michael Jackson went to Athlone.
He did. Look what happened to him. He set himself on fire and died.
Did he? Oh, Jesus.
He did.
He said...
Yeah, he remembers set himself on fire.
Oh, I thought, right.
Not at the same time. Not how he died.
No, because I was like, didn't his doctor kill him? Wasn't that the thing?
Do you know that libel thing you were talking about earlier on? I actually did have an interest in the things that made a documentary supposed to. Yeah. I genuinely did. I think audiences are really clever in that on radio or in sitcoms or making TV programs, they know if you're phoning it in. They absolutely 100% know he's only doing that for X, Y, and Z, or she's only doing that for X, Y, and Z. So.
Yeah.
And also then you won't do the things that your producer asks you to do or like that. So any of the stuff I've done, I've actually genuinely been interested in.
And what was like your favourite part of history? Like what?
Favourite part of history?
Yeah. I like very specific Athlone and Mullingar based history.
Is there a lot of that? Or
there was a lot of Nazis in Athlone.
Was there?
Yeah, there was a camp that because we're very neutral. We used to just feck all the Nazis into like these open prisons, and they'd be allowed to go out to dances at the weekends and stuff, and. They started families and everything around Athlone and stayed in Athlone after the war finished. And
so you know the way war criminals generally went to Argentina or Brazil or like some of them just settled around the Shannon area as well.
Yeah, around the estuaries.
You know the way. I think we should make that as a documentary.
Oh man, I'd love to. Like there's a place at Mullingar. So there's this house in Mullingar that I'm very interested in. Called Belvedere House.
I know it.
Hunting Lodge, right?
Yeah.
The one of the last guys to own that Hunting Lodge was a dandy called Rex.
Captain Bury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you know about the Abominable Snowman?
He went off. He left
his
house.
Yeah, you tell him. Yeah.
No, I think... all I remember is he left his house to his valet. He left his house and I think it was they didn't own Charlevoix Castle as well.
Yeah.
And he went off round the Hindu Kush and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's an amazing story. Yeah.
He went to climbing Mount Everest, and he was like an explorer, a mountaineer, and his Sherpa was trying to. He saw this really big footprint in the snow, and his Sherpa spoke English to him, but it was kind of like. It was kind of lost in translation, and he was trying to say, "It's a dirty snowman."
Right.
But the guy, the posh guy, took that as abominable snowman, and the whole thing of the Yeti came over to Western culture from this guy who reported back and said, "I saw an abominable snowman," and that's from Westmead.
From Westmead.
Yeah. Oh no, we got Joe Dolan as well, but I mean, abominable snowman.
He brought a bear back, and he used to wrestle the bear on the lawn.
No.
And then they shot the bear because it got too big. Seriously, presumably it got too big at some point.
Really?
After he tapped out.
What fragile. What fragile
and his head was in the Greville Arms.
Its head is in the Greville Arms?
Yeah.
I go there sometimes. Wow. I'm going to look out for that bear. I go there for a carvery, but I'd never thought I'd see a piece of history.
Well,
do you
know the way you randomly picked somebody from the local area and I knew the story? This is why Ireland doesn't have a witness protection program. Because everybody knows everybody else, including people from history. To answer your question about my favourite part of history, probably... genuinely was the kind of 6 year war. We did something on that with Red Hugh O'Donnell and Battle of Kintail and all that sort of stuff you did in school.
Right.
And we went off to a place near Valladolid, and I held in my hands a letter that Red Hugh O'Donnell had written to the King of Spain and said, please help us get rid of the English. So it's like a 500-year-old letter. And I actually kind of got a bit, he held this. So that was kind of cool.
Was it a long letter?
Yeah. It was please help us. Like, it wasn't a text, smiley face, right? Hashtag serious business.
Yeah.
It was a quite a long letter in Spanish, yeah.
And it was like, JK, at the end, that's why they never sent help.
Yeah.
Couldn't read the tone.
Lol, only messing, we're grand.
No, seriously, please help. For listeners that are international, what's the sixth and me? What's the 60-year war?
The 6 year war.
Six year.
Basically.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
That's why I didn't know.
Basically, so England kind of controlled all of Ireland except Ulster, and then Red Hugh O'Donnell and Ray and Hugh O'Neill, the two lads in Ulster, which were Donegal and Tyrone, basically took them on and beat them largely and beat them all the way back to Kinsale. And
Kinsale?
If you read all the stuff, you kind of go, about 10 things had to go wrong for us to lose the Battle of Kinsale, and they all went wrong. And then England kind of decimated the resistance, shall we say. But they were genuinely very, very, very close to beating the English crown, you know?
Jesus.
I know. You even got more Republican in that one word.
I know. I am becoming, I can say, my dad's English, and I had a really warped view of Ireland as well, because, you know, he's offensively English, my dad. I love him.
He's offensively English.
So I tell everyone this story all the time, but he used to have a box full of England flags that he would put an England flag outside of our window when the Euros or the World Cup was
in Ireland.
In Ireland, in Westmeath, and it would get burnt. And he would go back to the box and take out another flag. And this would happen until England got knocked out. And I would like,
enough then.
Yeah. Yeah. But my Irish side of my family would sing like rebel songs and stuff. And I thought, I thought that they were needling at my dad.
Right.
But they were just having the crack.
Having the crack, yeah.
You know? Because they're fun songs. Like, come out to you, black and tans. Come out and fight me. Like, what a chorus. Do you know?
It is like very ABBA. Much dependent on the audience that you're doing it to, though.
Yeah.
I do a lot of work in Belfast, and there's a few lads who wouldn't take that in the best of light.
I know.
And the key to that, though, is you offend everybody equally.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Up in the north?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And particularly if you're from the
Republic. Because you do a lot of stuff up in the north.
Yeah, a huge amount. Yeah, we've done kind of 10 or 12 years on a TV show up there. And the first mistake you make when you go up there first from down here is, oh, God, I can't talk about either side of that. And then, in actual fact, is if you read up and you're kind of clued in and go for both, they're grand. In fact, it usually gets a good response as long as you're going to both sides, you know?
It's like being a radio station covering a referendum, just having a stopwatch and having balance. Either side. Yeah.
We were once comparing our best, our toughest ever gigs, right? And I think the guy won't mind me telling you this. And he was saying, and he was a drag act, right? And we were talking about, oh, I did a tough gig in Edinburgh, I did a tough gig in Dublin, and he just went, I opened for the IRA once.
No.
We went, what? Yeah. Apparently some guy was doing 20 minutes in a club.
That just sounds like a joke itself. I opened for the IRA once.
Yeah, it was a genuine story. And the guy said, do about 20 minutes, bring on the rah, then do another 20 minutes after the rah. And he went, I'm not closing for the rah. I mean, how do you follow that? So he goes, but I'll open for the... He needed the money, so he did. Yeah. He did 40 minutes or whatever, and then went. You may know their work from X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Please welcome to the stage. And there was a guy standing there in the balaclava with an AK-47, and he goes, "Oh, I'm not going on until she gets off the stage because she took the piss out of me at a gig last week." So he wouldn't go on until the guy walked off. And then he walked on and read out a list of people that had to leave the area within the 24 hours, and they went, "Thanks very much. Good night."
What a
And we all went, that's the best story. I had a rough gig in the international once. That doesn't really compare.
Oh, my God. What a set as well.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, like, the pyrotechnics of you could be introducing them and going, you may have seen them on TV shows, like, reeling in the ears.
Yeah.
or, like, the 6-1 News. Primetime Investigates.
Just start... reading
what
out
a
the
CV.
Reading out the IMDb of their...
As played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
You may not know them from their balaclavas.
Yeah. Oh, my... Well, they're like Sia in a way, aren't they? Do you know the way she's very...
That was very
She's very cagey about her identity. I wonder, is it because she was a member of the RA at some point?
I don't know. Well, C S I A is three letters as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is the A in CIA Army, is it?
IRA, CIA.
Shh, Irish Army.
Shh, that's very good.
That's CIA.
That's very good. You have a
great... If you think of CIA, I have an image now of CIA trying to just fire an RPG, and they hear it. just...
Oh, yeah, because the fringe is in her eyes.
Trying to blow the fringe out of your eye.
And then there's like the young one just dancing beside her.
Yeah. Like, you are distracting me. You are meant to be a spotter. Yeah. This is not how it works. I can't believe we're doing this. This is like every interview I've ever done in RTE. Can you imagine if Pat Kenny turned to you and asked you these questions? That would be amazing on YouTube.
Hey. Yeah, like Pat Kenny wouldn't. I've never.
So, I believe you're a fan of Sia. That would be. Do you think she was in the Provos? That would be.
Oh, man. You should just copy every question I do now with Pat Kenny's accent. Wait.
Can you tell the audience where you've written your questions that you said to me in the green room downstairs?
I forgot my cue cards, so I have some old train tickets, and they're perfect on the back. Look, you can write well. There's nothing on that one.
It's like party is in the room,
isn't it? They're like mini cue cards for ferrets. Do you know, like, if a ferret was doing an interview, it's about the size for their arms. They're small.
A ferret?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know, I've got some facts about stoats, if you want to hear them.
Let's have a fact off about stoats.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay, seriously? Okay.
Let's see how quickly I can make shit up about stoats.
So, a stoat, right?
Yeah.
Eats flesh, right? Yeah. It can eat meat.
Yeah.
The size of its... Oh, no, wait, I've done the fact wrong. So, you know how much a ferret weighs... Of stoat. It's a stoat, not a ferret. Stoat's a different thing.
Okay.
Right, if you weighed a stoat on a weighing scales, right?
Yeah.
That stoat can eat the amount of meat, the equivalent of the weight. It eats its own body weight in meat. That's what it does. That's it. It eats its own body weight in meat every day. It can do that if it wants.
Yeah, we got there in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Or sometimes...
Like, even if I don't weigh it, it can still eat its own body weight. I don't have to weigh it, right?
That's true.
All right.
But, like, how does it make the fact... How do we know it eats its own body weight unless we weigh it?
I just think if you're ever asked to write a fact book, it could probably be half the length that you intended to be. Well, if you weigh the stoat, which you could put it on a scale, or as Archimedes used to do, would throw a stoat into a full bath and measure the amount of water that came out. That would be the weight. And the amount of water in the jug that you caught as you sat beside the bath, possibly eating a flake, that's another ad, who knows? Who knows? But that stoat could drink that water if it was in flesh form. Wow. That was amazing. There are no weasels in Ireland.
There are no weasels in Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh, but except up in the Dáil, am I right?
Whoop!
Political.
If you weigh Danny Healy-Ray.
Yeah.
If you weigh Danny Healy-Ray, he thinks that you can drink that amount of alcohol and still drive a car home.
Well, here's another fact about stoats, right? Stoats are like the only animals in the world that kill for pleasure. Sometimes if they have eaten enough and they can't eat anymore,
they'll just kill
for pleasure, which Danny Healy-Ray also does.
That is absolutely defamatory.
I know.
No question.
I'm joking.
In my mind.
So a
stoat actually kills for pleasure.
Yeah,
so a stoat's like, I've eaten my fill, lads. We've measured the weight.
Yeah.
I've eaten my fill, but let's just keep. What about?
They just get a bit wild.
What about the royal family?
The royal family, do they kill for pleasure?
They kill for pleasure as well.
Oh, they do. Or if someone's getting too popular, you know. We all know.
Too soon. The collective noun for a group of ferrets is a business of ferrets.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Now you've... Oh, no, I know another fact.
You won't have known that because I made it up.
Did you? Oh!
No, it's true.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, it is true.
Well, I don't know why I looked at my ticket as if that was going to go, he's lying. Like a magic eight ball. It's like, it just tells me when Neil Delaware is lying. That'd be a great power. I'll ask it. Oh, I was going to ask you because you, the first time I saw you would have been on my telly watching Just for Laughs, and you used to interview people.
I did.
In Montreal.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Like, what was it like being in Montreal? Did you eat poutine?
I tried it, yeah. Poutine is...
I've eaten it here, but I'm not sure if it's like the real deal. Do you know, it's just chips. I feel there's more to it.
Do you know if you get an Irish person and weigh them, they can eat their own body weight in poutine? Yeah. Spice bags. It is bags of chip. It's chips and gravy and cheese curds. Isn't that what it is?
Cheese curds.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Cheese curds.
I think that's what it is.
Right. Okay, so it's gravy cheese chips.
Yeah.
I've had that before.
Yeah. Probably call it something else among the Nazis have had long, didn't it? Yeah. I really hope it's...
Freedom fries.
I hope you leave the first bit in rather than me. People just going, why is he called us Nazis in that loan?
Neil Delaware.
Seems to be Kieran Mullooly on the news being really upset.
Yeah. I like Neil Delaware calls out Athlone's Nazi problem in podcasts.
Maybe it's people waving at boats in the channel. Montreal was great fun. I was 25 and I was sent off to Montreal to interview people, and it was amazing. And I got to introduce, like, I interviewed Patrice O'Neill and I interviewed, I made John Cleese laugh.
You made John Cleese laugh?
Oh, man, it was amazing, yeah.
How did you do that? Did you
tell him? I fell over in front of him.
No. Did you hurt yourself?
I didn't. I asked him a question in a press conference, and he kind of giggled at, and then I was meant to ask a second question, but I was just going, I've made John Cleese laugh at that. So we didn't get a second question in, and I interviewed Jason Alexander, who was George from Seinfeld. But you're kind of over there for a very short space of time, and actually, it's people used to ask what Montreal is like, and it's like the inside of a van in a hotel room, because, so I would introduce you, I would go next up, all the way from comedy powerhouse of Athlone or of Westmead, Alison Spittle, and then you change your clothes and you drive to another location and you go, please welcome to the stage, somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you're just driving around pretty much, you know. It was great to see them all at the galas as well. It was kind of cool. Like, John Cleese faked his own death at the gala, which was hilarious.
How did you do that?
I can't remember. I think he just kind of fell and got somebody to drag him off stage, but made a big speech about doing it, you know. And it was brilliant crack. And Jason Alexander was an absolute gentleman from George from Seinfeld, because we were given a press conference with him, and everybody had to ask him questions, and we were given like 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes, one-on-one with him. And everybody said, they all asked him about Seinfeld, all of them. And, you know,
were they like, what's it like being Seinfeld?
Yeah, what's it like being in that?
And what's it like being Jerry Seinfeld?
ask the wrong question. That would be get a reaction.
Jerry. What's it like being Jerry? That's what I would ask.
What's it like being Elaine? That would be brilliant. And then he, or Kramer, and we got about 2 minutes with them, and I said to him, I'd watched everybody ask him that question, and I said to him, listen, you know, you've been in Pretty Woman, and you've been on Broadway, and you've been in Seinfeld, but, you know, obviously we're from Irish TV, I have to ask you about what it's like to work with one person. And his eyes kind of shuttered over, and I said, what was it like to work with Angela Lansbury? Because he worked with Angela Lansbury, and his eyes went boonk, and they just, he had glaucoma, I think. And no, his eyes opened up. And
my question cured him.
Yes. Yeah. And he gave us maybe 10 minutes because he hadn't been asked a question before. And I kind of went, that's what you should do. Ask questions the people haven't been asked before. I'm sick of answering questions about stoats.
About stoats?
Oh, every second time I'm on something I'm asked about the creatures of the woodland.
They go missing every time you tour in whichever town. It's like, where are the stoats gone? It's like, Delamere.
I have a collection of stoats in different poses in my house.
How long were you doing comedy for at that stage, actually?
About 3 or 4 years.
That is good running. Yeah. Like, that's really good.
Well, the panel was first. So I had done Montreal the year before, just as an act, and then the panel came in 2004, and we did the Aussie festivals in 2004, and then from the panel then, Ed Byrne used to present it, and Ed was going on to host one of the galas, and the galas was a big, huge thing, so he wanted to concentrate on that, so then I took over the Neil Delamere Shows for Laughs for 2 or 3 years. It was great fun.
And the panel was like a massive, massive TV show.
Yeah.
What was it like in the... Like, I presume that's when you first started getting recognised and stuff. Like, what's that like?
I think Irish people are grand. I think Irish people are grand with it. I don't think they're too intrusive or anything like that. It was I remember the first thing. One of the first things I did, and I thought, I'm okay here, because I sat down, and it was Dara and Ed and I think Andrew and they were the three people who had the longest experience of comedy. But they had 42 years between them or something.
Genuinely.
And I had been doing it 3 or 4 years, and I was oh my God. I was really nervous.
Yeah.
And then we had the crack. Miriam O'Callaghan was the first guest. And I could get away with things, because you're kind of 25, you can get away with things that you can't get away with now, 35, 40, 45, 50, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So I said to her...
Because there's laws now, Neil.
How bad do you think it was? I mean, no, I mean just being cheeky. I just said to her, how many children do you have again? And she goes, 8 children. And I said something that was true at the time. I said, you've been pregnant longer than my no-claims bonus. Right? And she laughed her face off.
Yeah.
Because it was somebody whose first time on television and really kind of... innocent, you know, and
yeah.
And she was really nice, and it was kind of went from there, really, you know.
Well, that's cool. I don't know. I just because I started going on TV this year, and I feel weird about it because you can get people tweeting at you and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Well, that didn't exist then. Of course.
I know. I feel like I got the worst of it because I'm getting no money, and all of the shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
well,
and
somebody
like
had to be really angry in those days. You'd have to catch a pigeon, you'd have to write a note, and you'd have to put it on the pigeon's leg, and
yeah.
then just put it in your letterbox. Like, they'd have to be really annoyed.
I got
that never happened, by the way. That's why you keep all the stoats, to get rid of the hate pigeons.
the ecosystem. I got first piece of someone sent me a card to my mother's house, but they addressed it Alison Spittle, the comedian. Westmead, and it ended up in my house.
That was it nice?
It was. My mother was like, when I opened it, and I was like, oh Jesus, I don't know, in case it's like anthrax. And then I hear my mum go, oh God. And I'm like, no.
Make sure you have your affairs in order before
yeah.
you go to the hospital.
Yeah. Have you got the iodine tablets? Maybe they'll help.
I want the house.
Yeah. I do. I do want that. It's a nice house. She's just done it up.
You didn't send it to yourself for your chance. You better not know the exact address, but I reckon this will get there.
Yeah. The perfect crime. It was a card. It was a card from someone that said, congratulations.
That's lovely.
And then she said, I don't know who she was, but then she put in brackets after it, Mullingar. So
I was sent the miraculous medal once.
No, you were not.
I was, yeah, yeah.
For what? Were you bowled?
No.
Oh, okay. You were a good boy.
Yeah, I think it was just that they enjoyed it and whatever. I can't remember what it was off the back of. I think it might have been the panel and somebody sent it to me.
Did they post it to you?
They did, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. If I was posted, like...
They posted it to RTE, sorry.
To RTE?
Yeah.
Lovely. They're like the cannon fodder, aren't they, for bombs and stuff, mail bombs. The poor secretary. Delamere.
So in other words, if I'm ever driving through Donnybrook and I see Sia driving away from it, God, just leave RTE alone for a while there. The provost in there.
She's getting some treat frills. I should ask you another question here from the back of my. Neil. Hey, where'd you get your surname from?
My dad. And then his dad before him.
What?
It's real. People
it's
sometimes
real.
Ask me, did you change your name? And you go, well, Delamere's quite a nice name, but surely you'd change Neil. That's pretty straightforward. You call yourself something a bit more glamorous than Neil. But yeah, Delamere is Dulamere. It means of the sea.
It's a
Norman name, and that's actually why we did. That's why we did Viking shows and Norman shows, because it was that.
Because of your surname.
Because of my surname, yeah.
Oh, my name comes from Spittle, which is
as in saliva spittle.
Well, I got told that in secondary school. I'd be called Alison Toe. That would be one, which I think is wrong, because like there was a girl called Amanda Fleming, and she never got any of that. Do you know? I'm bringing it back now, Amanda. Ing, there we go.
But Johnny Gobber, though, was in an unfortunate position.
So many saliva-based names. My name is a Huguenot name,
which is French as well.
French, yeah.
16th century, Protestant craftsmen who came over to Ireland to escape
religious persecution.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's according to Google, super rare name.
Is that how Google talks? Oh my God, it's like super rare.
Yeah, you are so special.
Google is a safe space.
What kind of name would you pick if you had to do a stage name?
I do quite like Delamere. I do like the fact that it's of the sea and the Delamere is clearly moved to the only landlocked counties in Ireland. It's clearly the lazy branch of the Delamere family. Because my dad's from Mullingar, so that's how I know what you were talking about.
No way.
There. Yeah. I don't know. I think Spittle is good. Having a kind of a unique name is a good thing, I suppose. You know,
it
in
is.
In some ways.
It's all right, but like I was asked if I had a stage name, Spittle, like how'd you come up with that? And I was like, why would I pick a bodily fluid? Like, why would I?
Unless you were a porn star.
Oh, Jesus, actually, would be a great name, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Yeah, very good. What it's so.
That looks like it's made you uncomfortable, I saw.
Hashtag no.
Hashtag what?
Me too.
didn't
Neil Denver made
didn't
me
think
feel
that
very
uncomfortable. Jesus Christ.
I'm only having a mess. I'm allowed.
Until you re-edit this fucking podcast. Nothing else is in it. It was a podcast that was only 30 seconds long. They talked about stoats and then he went really weird.
That would be quite good. I was thinking like a good stage name would be like Neil laughs a lot, like Sir laughs a lot, but you've taken away the Sir, you know, but it's for comedy.
I'll have a think about that.
Okay. what job would you like to do other than comedy? And do you get asked that question a lot? If you didn't do comedy, what job would you be doing?
I have no idea. I did. I did software engineering when I was in college because my brother had done it before I had done it, and I knew I'd get a job.
Yeah.
It's the only reason I did it. And it was a kind of a stopgap measure, really. Mm. I was thinking about being a doctor when I was in school, and my ma said, that's a lot of hard work. And then I said, I'd like to be a barrister, and she said, oh, you have to know somebody.
You have to know somebody?
You have to know somebody, yeah. I don't know. I think she just wanted to dissuade me, so... I don't know.
And then she was like, showbiz, son. That's a good career.
Showbiz. You need to get a trade under your belt. Talking shite in darkened rooms. Sponsored by Excellent Cider. That's what you should do. Mmm. Tasty. So I just knew that I didn't want to do that. I had a kind of a reckoning. I had an epiphany. I was working in computing, and I was looking. I remember we had a Christmas party, whatever, and I was just sitting there going, we're all going to be here in this room this time next year. And all the people were sound and all the rest, but I kind of wanted something with a bit more variety, so I just had a go at this, and then managed to fluke it for however many years later, you know?
And do you feel like you fluked it? Like, what's your approach to comedy?
It depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something like kind of a panel show, you go and you read the newspapers, and the good thing is the ones I did were... The people on them were left on them for a while, and what happens is there's a rhythm builds up, and there's, say, Colin Murphy. I know what Colin Murphy, not what he's going to say, but I know when he's in the middle of something, and I know when he's building a head of steam to something, and I know, and the same with Jake O'Kane, who works with me as well. It's like midfielders or something playing football. You can recognize what people are doing, and it interacts very well together if you leave it and let it find its feet. So that has happened on the show we do in the North. That's what happened on the panel as well. Like, you knew Maxwell has put a pipe in his mouth and start talking in some about some bizarre thing, and you just sit back and let him go because you knew he was going to come up with something brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's what I do on that. In terms of doing live stand-up, I suppose if you're doing something that's going to be in 9 months' time, you're going to be touring it in, or 6 months' time, you have to think of stuff that's not transient. So you don't really do that much topical stuff. You talk about your family, you talk about school, you talk about your time you cried in the plane or whatever, you know?
Yeah. What about, I was going to ask you, this question popped into my head. When's the last time you built a snowman?
July.
July?
That where? Really surprised people.
Yeah, where?
I kept the snow in my freezer.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
What sort of pre-planning weirdo would I have to be? I don't know, probably as a kid.
Yeah.
When was the last time you built one?
Yesterday.
Really?
I went home to Westmead with my sisters, and there's snow there at the moment, and we built a snowman, and then we threw snow at each other, and my sister, Billy, got some compacted ice and threw it at my sister, Danielle, and they had a physical fight in the kitchen after it. And
that's a lovely story. It started off so sweetly and then ended up in bodily harm.
I know.
That was amazing.
But
I just ringing the ambulance going, she's been hit with compacted ice. And do you do carrot extractions? Because if we leave it in there, it could possibly grow.
And I was like, I saw them like running at each other. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm at home now. It feels so right, you know.
Them fighting each other.
Yeah, them fighting each other. Like, Christmas and stuff. Like, that's the thing that makes me feel like it's Christmas is kind of, you know, the fights that happen when you just spend that too much time together and someone goes, I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
You know, then you'd
we all know the Christmas hymn, I wish you were dead. Cabin fever in the house. I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
That's why I sent anthrax through the letterbox.
That's a new Shake and Stevens song, isn't it?
It is.
Punch is throwing all around me. The family are rowing. I'm very sad. It's the season.
Love for and understanding. That's Booley. Get your hands off me, you bastard.
Oh, man. What's your favourite Christmas song, actually? I know this is going to age the podcast, but...
Why might I pick something modern?
No, I mean,
the
like...
The fact that I said modern ages the podcast. My favourite gramophone record. Oh. The wax cylinder. I don't... Slade.
Slade. Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Normally an Irish person would say Fairy Tale in New York.
I know that, but I thought that, and then I thought, no, I won't say that.
Okay.
I didn't. It's just I heard Slade in the car on the way in.
Oh, was it? Yeah, my favourite Christmas song is the last Christmas song I've heard.
Yeah.
Although Mariah Carey, that's the best.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I feel I should ask a better question than this to end on. Actually, is there anyone in the audience that would like to ask Neil a question? Oh, that's a great question. Who has been your favourite panellist? I'll just think of a question. Who has been... edit that in. Who has been your favourite panellist to work with?
I'm glad you asked me that, Alison. I really like working with Colin Murphy. I've worked with Colin Murphy the longest. He's my comedy husband, so comedy wife,
yeah,
is what he always says. And I've worked with him for 12 years, I think, on The Blame Game and probably 7 or 8 on the panel. And he's a brilliant comedian. He's a brilliant physical comedian. He can do every accent. He makes me laugh like nobody else does on panel shows.
He's incredible. He's a bit I've seen him kill such impossible rooms, and I've never seen him do mediocre.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic comedian. Yeah.
Maxwell is great as well, I have to say.
Yeah.
Maxwell is an extraordinary talent. He really is.
He is. I've had a great time interviewing you, Neil.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Let's hope it's not listened to in Kerry for that one particular reason. That'll be gone anyway.
I won't be. Not I'm enough. Keeping that. That's the Danny Healy rating. Like, we all know he didn't kill anybody, yeah? Oh, look, that's... Okay, disclaimer at the end. Wait there. The Healy Rays, to my knowledge, have never been involved.
No, you can't say to my knowledge. That implies that they clearly did. You can't say that.
I can't.
You get more anthrax through your letterbox.
What's your address at Alison Spittle, the comedian? Everybody knows. I'll give it a go. Come on. Come on. Pile in there, pile in. Dear Alison, write the comedian in italics so it's sarcastic. I love your show.
P.S. I was being sarcastic. P.P.S. This is anthrax.
Go on, you're so happy. Go lucky. You'll probably make a snowman out of the anthrax.
Neil, I've had such a great time interviewing you.
It's been a pleasure.
Lads, give it up for Neil. He was brilliant. Thanks so much. Before I go, and before I let you go, when's your tour?
My tour starts on the 27th of December and mm-hmm. goes to May. So it's 50-something dates. So it's based exactly what you say. People go, why do you go out on the 27th of December? Have you seen what Irish people are like if you leave them alone for more than 4 days over Christmas? They just go, I'll go to the Source Arts Centre in Thurles or whatever it starts.
Yeah.
Who's on? I don't know who's on, but I'm going to kill my whole family if I don't get out of this house. So that sells out the quickest. It's amazing. But it's in Vicar Street and the Ulster Hall and all those places.
Brilliant.
And the Cork Opera House and everywhere else. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much, Neil.
Thanks very much to Sarah Garvey, Andrea Farrell, William Conway, and Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, and Alan Bennett from Head Stuff. They are the true engine behind this podcast. Thank you very much to Copperberg for sponsoring the show. They've been really nice, and just saying thank you for putting faith in the podcast, and delighted to have you on board. I had the taste of their elderflower and lime at the live show. It was lovely. You need lots of ice. You need lots of ice with loads of drinks, but like, it's just really refreshing. So there's my personal endorsement for Copperberg. I am doing it at Vicar Street January 13th. It's actually starting to sell really well now, so I'm delighted. I was really scared at the start. It's just very scary putting on a live show. But if you haven't bought tickets, you can buy them at Ticketmaster. If you live in Dundalk, Galway, Kilkenny, Clonakilty, Carlow, Thurles, Manor Hamilton, if you live in any of those towns and you like my comedy, good news. I'm touring, and I'm going to be touring in your town very soon. Go to alisonspittle.com for more details, or go to my Facebook page, Alison Spittle Comedy. Alison Spittle Comedy, the Facebook page, tells you the most, actually. It's the one that I update the most, and you should check that stuff out and give it a like. We also have a Facebook page for the Alison Spittle Show podcast. That's run by Sarah, Andrea, and myself, and they're really good at updating. They've got some really good ideas about how to share with you what episodes we're doing, and just extra bits and bobs, so it's really worth your while to give that a like as well. Also, you can catch the last few episodes of Nowhere Fast on the RTE player. To be quick, the third one is gone now at this stage, so you're just left with the fourth, fifth, and sixth, so be quick and watch it. Just to say as well, it's the last podcast of the year. Thank you so much. This year has been effing brilliant. It really has. Oh my God. I was on the Late Late Show. I had a TV show out. I interviewed Tommy Tiernan. I mean, what more in my life could be better? I played the Tree Arena, and I nearly forgot to tell you that. Like, that's how good a year I have had. I moved in with my boyfriend as well. So, yeah, oh my gosh. This year has been sickeningly good. And just want to say thank you so much to yourselves, because you've made my year so good. Listening to the podcast, coming up to me and telling me you listen to the podcast, watching my show, going to see live shows. Like, my year has been so good, but it's all been your fault. So, you know, in a good way, I blame you for my good year, and just to say thank you so, so much. And hopefully 2018 will be as good a year as 2017 for ye. I hope ye had a good year. I didn't even ask you how your year was. I hope it was good. And if it wasn't, I hope 2018 is 20 times better. And if it was good, then I'm delighted, and I hope you get the same in 2018. And I'm gonna go now. I get fierce tired around Christmas. It's all just sitting around and eating, isn't it? Listen up for the Tony Cantwell episode in 2 weeks' time. It's really funny as well. And go see some live stuff in the new year. And you can still buy tickets for the Vicar Street show if you forgot to buy someone something. And you know you're going to see him before New Year's, and you're like, oh, what did I get him? Get him a ticket for my show. Not if they're pricks, though. Don't get him a ticket for my show. I'm grand. I can do without them. But if they're nice, you should get him a ticket for my show. I'm going to let you go, and I'll chat to you soon. All right? Good luck. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.